Questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE. Live and local.
And a good Saturday morning and welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongvineAuto.com. I'm Tim Miller. I'll be your host this morning as Greg Ray is preparing to head to Warrensburg, Missouri, where this afternoon the Emporia State Hornets will take on the Mules of Central Missouri. We will hear from Greg a little bit later on in the program this morning. Of course, we will hear from Emporia High head football coach Keaton Tuttle to talk about his team's game last night at Seaman. And then certainly later on in the program, we'll hook up with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, talk about a big Sunday night football game as the Buffalo Bills come to Kansas City, a big AFC showdown tomorrow night in Kansas City. Again, Emporia High last night playing the Seaman Vikings on the road. We will bring in Emporia High head football coach Keaton Tuttle via the KVOE Sutherland studio line. Sutherland's free in-store pickup available on thousands of items when you buy online. And Coach Tuttle, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, I took a lot of positives out of the game last night. I know mainly on one side of the ball, talking about the defense, but, man, we will start there with the positives. I thought your kids played a great game on the defensive side and certainly played well enough to win the football game.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I thought, you know, our linebackers and secondary and, you know, even our D-line, you know, they got after it last night. You know, they tackled well, they covered well. And you could tell it gave Seaman some fits. You know, they were trying to get a few things deep, and it never happened. And we got some pressure on their quarterback, and you know our linebackers up the middle cleaned up a lot of stuff last night.
Well, and I'll start with the guys up front only because they're so darn young. I mean, you look at that defensive line and guys who play up there. I mean, you've got a junior, and he's kind of the elder statesman. We're talking about Nate Thomas, and he doesn't have a lot of varsity experience other than what he's picked up this season. But guys like Ty Iverson, Enrique Rios, you had a freshman making his first start, Pedro, and I hope I say his last name correctly, Paderna. Man, you got some green kids up front, and I thought they held themselves very well.
Yeah, they really did, and I think they started to, you know, get past that young stage last night. So, you know, like you said, you know, Nate did a good job last night up front on the D-line. Ty Iverson gives you everything he's got every game, which is something you enjoy seeing. And, yeah, I mean, it really rubs off on other guys. Pedro had his first varsity action last night. So, you know, they are young. They are. But, you know, they're continuing to get better every week. So it's nice to see that growth.
Well, and we have to talk about Bobby Trujillo. He was our player of the game last night, and I know he had to have another double-digit tackle night, and I think he's well on his way to certainly an all-league type season. Man, Bobby Trujillo had another really good football game for you.
Yeah, he really did. You know, Bobby brings a lot to the table. You know, we tell him all the time, you know, the guys around him are going to follow exactly what he's doing. So whether it's, you know, up or down, they're going to follow him. And, you know, for the most part, he's been up and, you know, playing, you know, lights out on defense. You know, he's getting a lot of tackles, making a lot of stops, cleaning up a lot of stuff. So it's nice to see him have another good defensive game.
You know, I know in talking to you early, you've always liked your secondary and thought this was a group that could really play some good football. And they were playing a team last night in Seaman that they like to throw the football around, which is kind of, you know, goes against what we've seen from previous Seaman teams. Barta, their quarterback, averages over 200 yards throwing throughout the course of the season. He completes about 60% of his passes. But last night, he's just 12 of 27, barely gets 100 yards. Man, your secondary, I thought, played really well.
Yeah, they really did. You know, some of them had a pretty tall order. You know, I know we put Fred Jackson out there against their, you know, 6'6 receiver tight end. And, you know, they were trying to get the ball to him in the end zone a lot. It just didn't happen, you know, and which is nice. You know, Fred's a competitive kid. You know, he likes doing what he's doing, and he does it well. So, you know, with the combination of him, you know, Cade Wojak at safety, and then on our other side, we've had a couple injuries. But, you know, Marco Robinson, Ontario Robinson have jumped in. Parker Leeds, you know, we grabbed him and said, hey, got to have you on defense. And he's done a really nice job. You know, he understands coverages and understands his job and, you know, for the most part, is done as well as we could ever ask, you know, especially for a guy who hasn't got a ton of varsity reps in a game. So those things are nice to see. And we've, you know, like I said, we've got some juniors and stepping up and things like that. Sheldon Stewart got a rep on defense last night that, you know, hasn't got a lot of varsity, and you know, they're doing a good job. So, you know, the things we're doing in practice are starting to translate. That's you can definitely see it on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, that's things that we want to stay doing and keep doing, because, you know, as they can see last night, we can stop a very good team defensively. You know, again, you know, we put our defense in some really tough spots last night, you know, and they rose to the challenge almost every single time.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, this is very reminiscent of what we saw last week in terms of field position, because Seaman, virtually every possession they had in that first half started on your side of midfield, but man, the defense just stuck their nose in there and came up with some big plays. And what do you think the keys were? I mean, did it just all come together last night? I mean, because this was certainly a different defensive team than what we saw last week.
Yeah, you know, I think we stress to them all the time. You know, we got to play together, play for each other. And I think they're really starting to trust, you know, what each other's doing. And, you know, until that happens, there's going to be, you know, a few guys trying to do too much, just being competitive, you know. So I think they're really starting to see, hey, I can let this guy do his job. I don't have to worry about him. All I got to do is mine. I get a chance to make a tackle. I got to wrap up and make sure we finish. And, you know, they did that. And with the combination of getting pressure on him up front, I think we saw what our defense is very capable of.
We're talking with Emporia High head football coach Keaton Tuttle on the Sutherland studio line as Emporia High unfortunately loses last night on the road at Seaman 22-6. And, Coach, offensively, certainly, again, it goes without saying, just some struggles continue. A big key last night, man, Seaman brought a lot of pressure. They sacked Cam Geitz, I think it was 8 times in the game. But they were sending guys hot and heavy all the time, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And, you know, that's something we've stressed a lot. We've seen it. And you know, we've repped it. The thing is, it's tough to get the same look that you're going to get, you know, on game day throughout the week at times. You know, like I said, we've had a few injuries, and, you know, and we've got some young guys. But, again, you know, not an excuse. It's just things. We have a few guys that aren't used to seeing, you know, they've seen it the last couple weeks, and it's, you know, it's starting to kind of rear its head. Cause right now, you know, a blitz is our Achilles heel, you know, so it's tough cause it's not allowing us to run some of the stuff we want to run. It's tough when we're trying to get Cam outside the pocket and throw and things like that. You know, you scheme up a lot of stuff, you know, we did all week long, but like Coach Sowers told me numerous times, you know, when they blitz like they do, they're going to be wrong part of the time, and they are. And, you know, and it showed last night, you know, we caught them on that play action. But unfortunately, you know, they were coming a lot, and I think some of our inexperience started to catch us there towards the end, especially we started getting a little tired towards the end of a game. But, you know, those are things we've got to get better at, and we have. You know, we definitely know that. We definitely can see that. Just occasionally, you know, those things, it's almost a snowball effect. You know, when one thing happens, you know, another thing happens and another thing happens. And because, you know, we had our chances there down at the end, but we've got to be able to protect so we can get the ball out, especially when we're trying to get the quarterback out of the pocket. It's something we got to be prepared for going forward, because, you know, teams are going to see our film. You know, they're going to see what has been done to us, to stop us defensively, so you know they're gonna do the exact same. You know, that's a blueprint stopping us right now, is pressure up the middle and pressure on the edge. So we've got to find ways to combat that, whether that be just, you know, executing better or schematically, because right now that's kind of been our Achilles heel.
Well, they always say that the football games are won and lost by just maybe a handful of plays, and I thought the real key play last night was the fumble recovery they had for the TD there late in the first half. You know, if you go into the locker room down 10-0, you kind of feel pretty good about where you're at, because, you know, the offense just couldn't get much generated. But if you're down just a couple of scores, you feel like you're certainly right there. But, boy, that play really hurt you there to end the half.
Yeah, it really did. And that's, you know, like you said, that's one of the biggest things. It's the momentum there is almost the killer more than anything, because, you know, like, you know, if we move the ball down and even score on that drive, excuse me, and say it's, you know, 10-7, 10, you know, 10-8, 10-6 going into half, you know, you're right there. But in, you know, when they get able to get a ball and a score on one play like that, that make, yeah, that does make things tough, and it really takes the wind out of your sails. Yeah, you know, you could start to feel kind of the momentum shift a little bit right there, which, you know, I think we got a little bit back coming out after halftime. But, you know, unfortunately, you're right. The momentum kind of took a toll right there on us.
Yeah, you come out of the second half and onside kick it. Great call, I thought, trying to get you some momentum. You were able to recover. Unfortunately, it didn't get you any points. What was going through that process in terms of making the decision onside kick it?
You know, I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Dreher, Coach Sauer, Coach Wells. You know, we were looking for a spark, and they came up to me right after half. And it's known that I would consider myself, especially in a situation like that, like, you know, we're going to kick it deep. We're going to try to stop them. You know, more of a conservative approach on kicks, trying to, you know, get a stop on defense, field position, things like that. But, you know, they said, hey, we got to have a spark. And I completely agreed. As I said, what do you think? I said, let's do it. I said, we've got to make something happen. We've got to start getting some energy and things like that. So, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to them. You know, they came to me with the idea, and I said, let's run with it. So, we did. You know, Alex made a great kick. You know, he's a very good kicker, and he kicks a great onside ball. So, you know, we're pretty fortunate we got that one. But, you know, we want to make sure if we get things like that, we've got to try to ride that momentum, you know, take that energy into a score and things like that.
Well, you know, at any level of football, the percentage of recovered and onside kick is not very high, and you guys did it twice last night. I don't know if I've ever seen a football team convert two onside kicks before.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and again, credit to, you know, Coach Sauer with special teams and Alex kicking a great onside kick, because, you know, the thing we asked for is they put us in position to make a play, and that's exactly what happened, and our guys did. So that's, you know, again, one of those very bright, positive spots that you see, you know, the energy you feel after an onside kick like that. You know, we score, get the onside kick, you know, kids are flying around, there's a lot of excitement, and that, you know, right there, that makes it worth it. You know, I know the outcome's not what we want, and we're striving to, you know, overcome those things, but there are, you know, numerous stages in a game that makes you really fortunate, or myself feel very fortunate for what I'm doing, especially being around this group of kids, because, you know, they easily could go the other direction. And, you know, I asked them last night, I said, you know, we got one or two options. I said, we can accept losing and give up. I said, or we can go back to work and start changing things. And, you know, unanimously, they're like, we're going back to work. It's, you know, it's time to change. We know that, you know, and we're not going to change what we're doing. We're just going to keep working to get better.
Well, Coach Tuttle, then you have to feel good still about your team's confidence level. You know, it'd be hard to, you know, you're sitting here 1-5 and certainly have had some struggles offensively, and it'd be very easy to have your heads down. But it sounds like to me your kids are certainly still very much engaged and very confident with what they're doing.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, another thing we talked about with that is you've got very good opponents coming your way, you know, and it's, if we want to be one of those teams, those are teams we're going to have to beat or play, and we're going to have to beat. So I think they're going to really be up to the challenge the next few weeks.
Well, talk about next week. Junction City comes to Welch Stadium. Junction City 5-1 on the season. They had a win, I think, on Thursday it was, over Topeka High, 34-6. What do you know right now about Junction City?
You know, they've got some speed. And again, on defense, they're pretty aggressive. They have, you know, I think had a couple injuries offensively, but, you know, the other guys we've seen stepping in are, you know, very good players as well. So, you know, they can throw the ball well, they run the ball well, and, you know, they send pressure on defense, and, you know, they're not afraid to at all. So, you know, they run a 3-4, and they usually bring four or five guys almost every time. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if we get six coming at us, if not more at times. You know, they play disciplined football, and that's, you know, a thing they always have. So, you know, they're a very good team. The nice thing is, you know, they'll be coming to us, so we'll get a chance to, you know, see what we can do against a very, very good team.
I do have to ask you, Washburn Rule goes to Manhattan last night and pulls off the win 21-14. And I know, you know, Rule, a very good football team, but were you a little surprised they went to Manhattan and got a victory?
You know, I was. I definitely saw that, and Manhattan's not an easy place to go play. So, the thing, you know, we were talking last night, I said, you know, for Manhattan, that might actually turn out to be a positive thing, you know, because they're going to be, you know, pretty hungry and ready to go after that. So, I mean, that could really carry them quite a ways. But, you know, I would agree, you know, going up there is never easy. You know, we know what kind of teams they each have. So, yeah, it was a very impressive win.
Coach, I didn't want to ask you, did you come out of the game okay injury-wise? I didn't see anyone having any issues.
Yeah, we did. You know, we've got a few guys who are going to be a little sore, you know, but I don't think we had any major ones. Maybe a rolled ankle here or there, shoulder kind of dinged up, but I don't think it's anything that will keep our guys out of the game. You know, that's one thing with these, a lot of these guys, they're pretty tough, and, you know, especially some of our seniors, they know their guaranteed time is limited, so they're going to do whatever they can to be out there.
Well, Coach, I'll let you go. Appreciate your time as always. Have a nice weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Tim.
All right, Keaton Tuttle, the Emporia High head football coach. Spartans, a great effort last night defensively. Unfortunately, they lost the football game, final score of 22-6. Let's go ahead and get our first break in. We'll come back, and I'll run through some other scores. And, of course, we'll hopefully get to Greg Ray, talk a little Hornet football. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
There's lots of news about microchip shortages right now. However, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have inventory in stock and 40 more vehicles on the way. That's right. We have new Chevy and Buicks in stock and in transit. So if you're waiting for that new vehicle to come in, don't wait. Shipments are picking up, and we can help you pick out yours even before it gets here. Or we may be able to find you one also. Are you looking for something pre-owned? We have a great selection, and we're buying top-quality models every day. Here at Longbine Auto Plaza, we can help you find the right new or pre-owned vehicle to fit your needs. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us or visit us at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember, getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk as we continue with our show. And just to run down some other scores last night, Topeka West knock off Highland Park 80-46. It was Junction City, as I mentioned, beating Topeka High Thursday night 34-6. Hayden, a 49-6 winner over Santa Fe Trail. And then I still think maybe a mild upset. Rural, good football team, but they go to Manhattan and get the win 21-14 in the area. Madison and Chase County are a featured game on Country 101.7. And boy, what a contest. 66-50, the final. Madison with the win. Burlingame got a victory last night over Valley Falls, 58-12. Hartford down Wakefield, 48-0. It was Lebo, 52. Plano's Christian, nothing. Waverly over St. Paul, 52-6. Olpe shuts out Jackson Heights, 35-0. Lennon also with a shutout victory. They beat Central Heights, 48-0. Elsewhere, it was Mission Valley beating Oskaloosa, 40-12. Wellsville, a 35-12 victory over Osage City. Roddy County, big over Council Grove, 63-14. And Girard shuts out Burlington, 28-0. Before we get to Greg Ray, let me just run down our Complete Works Athletes of the Week. For Emporia High, we're going to go with Riley Peak off the Emporia High volleyball team as the Lady Spartans continue to put together a very nice season. And in our area, or for the area athlete of the week, Bryson Turner of Madison last night in the Chase County game, 300. 119 yards rushing, scored 7 touchdowns on the night. So Bryson Turner, obviously a big part of the Madison win over Chase County. So Bryson Turner, our Area Athlete of the Week, and for Emporia High, Riley Peak off of the Emporia High volleyball team. And with that, we'll turn our attentions now to Emporia State football and our very own Greg Ray, who joins us via the KVOE Sutherland's studio line. Sutherland's, Emporia's complete home improvement store for over 25 years. And Greg, you guys making the trek to Warrensburg, Missouri to take on the Mules of Central Missouri. You look at Central Missouri and that record, 1-4, just how deceiving is that?
Off the year, they played Pittsburgh State. They lost that game. And talking with some people at Pittsburgh, they didn't think Central looked very good. Then they went to Washburn and lost that game 29-10. And talking to Washburn people, they didn't think Central Missouri looked very good. In fact, the word was that that might be one of the worst Central Missouri teams in a long time. But they kind of changed quarterbacks. It was probably not until after week 3 when they played Northwest Missouri State. And Northwest Missouri State's going to make a lot of teams look not so good. But then they come back after they make the change in quarterbacks, and they take on Nebraska Kearney, who was undefeated and playing some really good football. And Nebraska Kearney needed to score 22 seconds to play to win that game. So Central Missouri is looking a little better than last week. They got healthy against Northeastern State, winning 41-10 in that contest. And their changing quarterbacks has made a huge difference. They Washburn transfer, Logan Tweehouse, and he's really been throwing the ball well. Talking to our defensive coaches, he has the ability to, do a lot of things. He can throw it. He's pretty accurate, and he also has a tendency to run the ball if he needs to. But the thing that they've been able to do is the game that they won, they hit on some big plays, and that's kind of been the Achilles heel of Emporia State through at least the first 4 games of the season. But last week, I thought Emporia State's defense played a lot better. Of course, when you get 5 turnovers, that's going to make things a lot easier, and you return an interception for a touchdown, and the other 4 turnovers end up turning them into points. That makes a huge difference, and that's what they were able to do last week, except for maybe the last 11 minutes. And I don't know if Emporia State necessarily went into a prevent defense, but Washburn kind of opened up the playbook and started going deep, and they were able to get some plays. And talking with the Emporia State coaches too, some of it you have to credit the Washburn receivers for making some really nice catches. Jace Williams, who is a basketball player, made a one-handed grab in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. Nice play, tip of the hat to him. And then he also made another tough catch in the end zone with about 3 defenders around him, and he somehow ended up with the football, kind of like going up for a rebound. And then Washburn probably has the most of one of the most electrifying receivers and players that we've seen in a while, minus the Emporia State players, James Letcher, who, if you don't get him at the beginning, you're probably not going to catch him, because he just has electrifying speed. He has electrifying ability to get away from people, and that's what he was able to do on Saturday in a 58-yard scoring play. He also had returned a punt for a touchdown that was nullified because of a block in the back and holding penalty on a punt return that would have really made things interesting. But Emporia State coming off a nice win over Washburn. And Central Missouri, they have a couple of players that Emporia State will have to keep their eyes on. They have a couple of receivers that have shown that they can make some big plays, so they'll definitely have to make sure that they don't let those guys go wild and have a huge day today. And I think that's what it boils down to. For me, I think the team that has the most big plays is probably going to win this game. Don had a real interesting note in his game notes that he puts out every week. And 7 of the last 9 games between Emporia State and Central Missouri have gone into the fourth quarter and have been decided by a touchdown or less. There have been some close contests and some wild games, and this could be another one of those contests. Whoever has the ball last might win.
Greg, as you've talked to coaches this week and prepared for today's game, how do they view the matchup with Central Missouri?
They like the way they match up with Central Missouri. They feel like that they have a chance to maybe hit on some big plays. And part of it is they don't really – I don't think they need to change a whole lot of what they've been doing. Just keep doing what they're doing. One thing that they've done very well is take care of the football. As long as they take care of the football today, don't turn it over, they're going to give themselves a chance to win. And if the defense can come away with some turnovers, that definitely improves their chances of winning this afternoon's game. Getting pressure on this quarterback is going to be a challenge. Central Missouri doesn't give up a lot of sacks this season, but Emporia State leads the MIAA in sacks. They also lead the conference in the tackles for loss, so they're going to put some pressure on Central Missouri this afternoon, and hopefully they can turn that pressure into some points and really nullify a lot of what Central Missouri tries to do today.
Well, I know sometimes you just pick up momentum from week to week, but how much momentum do you think Emporia State carries in after a nice win over Washburn?
I think there's quite a bit of momentum. I think if on the defensive side, going into the fourth quarter, you're leading 35-10. You're feeling pretty good, and you feel like that you have a chance to really close this game out, and that's another key for today. If Emporia State gets the lead, has the lead in the fourth quarter to close out the game without making it interesting down the stretch. Hopefully they can avoid what happened to them at Missouri Western and definitely try to minimize maybe don't let what happened with Washburn when they scored 20 points in the last 11 minutes of the ball game. You don't want to try to give something up like that because momentum's such a big thing in football. You get momentum on your side and you can make it go a long way, and then as soon as you lose it, things can go south in a hurry. That's one thing they're going to attempt to try to do. But the coaches, I think, like the matchup. They feel like they, player for player, they match up well with Central Missouri. And it just comes down to, as every coach will tell you, about your guys making sure they do their 1/11th or do their part. Don't try to do more than what they're capable of doing.
Emporia State, are they pretty healthy heading into this afternoon's game?
Yeah, they are. I was at practice earlier in the week, and everybody was out of practice that's supposed to be practicing. So, and I don't think they lost anybody from the game against Washburn. Everybody came out pretty healthy, and defensively they look to be in good shape. Offensively, they'll have all their weapons available. Jalen Varner's back on the field; he'll be ready to go this afternoon, and hopefully he can be a big part of this game. And that's a real, when you watch this Emporia State football team, that's the thing that makes it such a challenge to defend, because it doesn't matter who they stick out there. They've got guys who will make plays for you, and 14 guys have caught passes, 14 players have caught passes this season for Emporia State, and now everybody's healthy at the running back spot. So this could be a fun afternoon for Emporia State. We'll just have to wait and see how it all unfolds. You're going to be in for a battle. Central Missouri is always well prepared and well coached, so you have to be ready for just about everything from Central Missouri.
Well, the Hornets have to be hungry for another road win. I mean, their last couple of trips on the road, they've been so close. Atmo Western had the lead and lost it, and then a very closely contested game at Pittsburgh State. Be nice to go get another win on the road.
Yeah, That would be a huge boost for them as they get set to, looking down the road. They have Nebraska Kearney coming in next Saturday, which is going to be a challenge. And Kearney coming off their first loss, so they're probably going to be a little hungry to save and maintain their chances of making it and advancing onto the postseason. But Emporia State still has to play with the attitude of, hey, we still have a chance to maybe earn a postseason spot if they go out and take care of business things. Could definitely turn in their favor in that direction. As everybody knows, in this region and this conference, a couple losses can make it awfully difficult to get into the postseason. But if they can close out the season, six games left, who knows what's going to happen. But you would like to think if they could close out the season on a really strong note, the chances of making it back to the playoffs could be a possibility.
Greg, I'll change gears on you. Hey, the Emporia State soccer team, another victory, beat Rogers State, their 10th win. They'll play again on Sunday. Man, great soccer team.
Yeah, an outstanding soccer team. The score doesn't indicate it, but I thought Emporia State really kind of dominated that match yesterday. You outshoot them 21 to, what was it, 8 on shots, and then 8-4 on goal. You just really maintained pressure on them defensively. Just had some shots that went a little high, maybe a little wide, one that ricocheted off one of the bars. This is a team that will put pressure on you. They'll make you work hard. They'll get physical with you if they need to. They'll kind of fill it out at first. I was just got to the everything set up and started to pay attention. We're about 25 seconds into the match, and already Emporia State was taking a shot on goal. It just sails right over the top of the crossbar. If it's down about 5 inches, that's probably in the net. Emporia State just 15 seconds, 20 seconds in, would have an early lead, but. This is a soccer team that, if you haven't seen them play, check them out. Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, they take on Northeastern State. Northeastern State, typically a very solid soccer team, and they'll make Emporia State work for it, but the Lady Hornets are fun to watch. They get after it. They make it entertaining, and they play hard, and they make it tough on opponents because they have some players that can just flat out run and keep possession of the ball and make some outstanding plays. The thing that really stood out yesterday was the play of the back end, the defensive end. Emporia State would Roger State would get into the attack zone area, and Emporia State would either deflect a shot or kick a get a steal. And they made it awfully difficult on Roger State yesterday. And the Hornets 10-0-1 right now, ranked number 4 in the nation. Coach Seiler told me the other day, I don't know if we're the 4th best team in the nation, but right now we'll take it. It all matters how it all ends. There's still some challenging matches that lie ahead for Emporia State. They still have Central Missouri. They still have Central Oklahoma to play. So two of the better teams in the MIAA are still on the docket, and those are later in the season. But as of right now, they're doing everything they need to do to win matches. And that's playing good defense, good offense, and keeping pressure on teams. They're a fun team to watch.
Well, Greg, I'll let you go. Safe travels to Warrensburg, and have a good call, and hopefully bring home a road win.
That's the intent, to come away with a victory this afternoon in Warrensburg.
All right, guys. Good luck today. All right, so that's Greg Ray, of course, on the road with the Emporia State Hornets. They head to Warrensburg to take on Central Missouri. A noon pregame on Mix 104.9, 1 o'clock kickoff from Warrensburg. Let's go ahead and squeeze in our final break. We'll come back, go through the sports schedule, and hopefully, of course, catch up with Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
With interest rates at record lows, now's a great time to bring your home loan back to Kansas by refinancing your mortgage through Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Would you like to lower your monthly home loan payment or pay off your loan sooner? Maybe you could use some extra cash to consolidate debt or remodel. Emporia State Federal Credit Union makes it easy to become a member and refinance your home. Visit with one of their local mortgage professionals today in person or online at esfcu.com. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Longline Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
There's lots of news about microchip shortages right now. However, at Longline Auto Plaza, we have inventory in stock and 40 more vehicles on the way. That's right, we have new Chevy and Buicks in stock and in transit. So if you're waiting for that new vehicle to come in, don't wait. Shipments are picking up, and we can help you pick out yours even before it gets here. Or we may be able to find you one also. Are you looking for something pre-owned? We have a great selection, and we're buying top-quality models every day. Here at Longbine Auto Plaza, we can help you find the right new or pre-owned vehicle to fit your needs. So come in today, and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us or visit us at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Tim Miller with you here in studio. Again, Greg Ray on the road, the Emporia State Hornets. And hopefully soon we'll be able to connect with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, and talk about the big game tomorrow night, Sunday Night Football, Buffalo in Kansas City, and a real key AFC showdown. Just looking at the rest of the sports schedule today, running down other games in the MIAA as far as football is concerned. Fort Hays State plays at Washburn today. Northwest Missouri entertains Pittsburgh State. Missouri Western is at Nebraska Kearney. Lincoln at home against Missouri Southern. Central Oklahoma and Northeastern State, they played Thursday night. Central Oklahoma winning that game 49-9. As far as the Big 12 is concerned, no KU or K-State today, both getting bye weeks, and so both of those teams will get a week off. The big game in the Big 12 today, of course, the Red River rivalry, Oklahoma and Texas. The number six Sooners against 21st-ranked Texas. A morning kickoff, 11 o'clock. I believe they play at the Cotton Bowl. So OU and Texas, the marquee game in the Big 12. Other contests, West Virginia playing at Baylor today. Texas Tech at home as they play TCU. As far as maybe some marquee games to maybe pay attention to today, as far as games involving two ranked opponents, Arkansas, 13th ranked in the country, goes to number 17, Mississippi. Number 2, Georgia, plays at number 18, Auburn. And in the big matchup in the Big Ten, Penn State, ranked 4th in the nation, travels to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes. The Hawkeyes ranked number 3 in the nation, so a big matchup there in the Big Ten. Elsewhere on the sports schedule today, as we move more to the local side of things, the Emporia High tennis team, they play in regionals today, so trips to state on the line for the Emporia High tennis team. That regional is at Seaman High School today. The Emporia High cross country team, they're at El Dorado for a meet today. Next week, I believe they have the league meet. And then Emporia State, our Emporia High gymnastics team at Newton today, and then Emporia State cross country, they're at the Fort Hays State Invitational. And I believe we do have Mitch Holtis with us via the KVOE Sutherland Studio line. Sutherland's, apply for a Sutherland's credit card to enjoy special offers and discounts. Mitch's appearance here on Sports Talk being brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Good morning, Mitch.
You know, it's a great job of reading that. I know the folks in Emporia State Federal Credit Union appreciate it, but right now you might move to the top of the list, Greg being second, Steve being third, in the way that that ad is written. So take a bow, buddy. You get an award this week.
Well, thanks, Mitch. You know, I have some pressure because my wife works at the credit union, so there's a little heat on me.
I know. That's the story beyond. That's 30 for 30 here.
Yeah.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Okay. So now I know.
There you go.
That's why you're so careful with it. Careful with it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire hanging onto the ball.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, hey, I tell you what, let's just go back to last week just for a second. Chiefs, a great performance in Philly. So many good things to talk about. You mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Hey, back-to-back 100-yard games for Clyde. Running game looked good last week.
Offensive line did an excellent job. They continue to ascend. In pass blocking, there's times they have let down some. But in 4 weeks, those five guys have only allowed 1.5 sacks. Okay, that being said, I set up the O-line for the answer because they deserve at least half of the answer. And then the other half is Clyde. He's getting his confidence back. He's getting his timing back. He's got his patience back. He's got that whole start-stop game going on where he can stop, wait for the block, and then accelerate. Not every human can do that. And so it's good to see. And then Darrell Williams comes in with a nice compliment. You know, he's 20 pounds heavier, brings a little more power. He's not as shifty, but necessary. I mean, Clyde's not the biggest dude in the world. So it's a good little tag team going on. And tomorrow night, you may see some Jerick McKinnon out there, and he brings another element to the game.
Mitch, and then on third down, wow, what efficiency. I think they said they were 9 of 10 on third down, just incredible.
Yep. And everything, short yardage, long yardage, they were great. And two answers there. First of all, the response would be historic in the fact that the Chiefs right now go into this Bills game at 64% third down conversions.
Wow.
It is the best ratio after four games since 1991. So
wow.
That's crazy. There's only been one third and six or less that they have not converted. And that's, you know, mind-boggling. The other part of this was I was super proud of Patrick. Maybe he's not as proud as I've ever been, but at least up there, maybe top five, because, you know, the great stat of he only had 6 incompletions and 5 touchdown passes, and he didn't have a 300-yard passing game. And that's a really good sign because he was able to, the old adage, take what they gave him, but he was so precise. He was so accurate. And he was so efficient with his throws. These were, wasn't trying to do anything fancy. He was so precise. 3rd and 5, he put it right on the money to Tyreek for 6. Then when they had the opportunity to hit him big, he did. And that'll lead me to another part that goes back to our training camp reports I did for Greg. But again, the fact that he was just so precise and so patient and so efficient made him impossible, Patrick Mahomes impossible to defend in that game.
Let's talk a little bit about Tyreek Hill. Another 10-plus receptions, 185-plus yards, 3-plus TDs. And if I read some notes correctly, he's in tall company. I think he's only the second player to have multiple games like that, joining one Jerry Rice.
Yep, that's true. And we're seeing, I think we're taking it for granted. You know, Andy Reid's got he told me one time that when somebody does something great over and over again, we have a tendency to, one, take it for granted, or two, think it's commonplace. What we're seeing from Tyreek Hill is, and I'm glad you brought up the historical context, he's doing things now that puts him in an elite category, not just in the current era of the NFL, but all time. I mean, he's putting together stuff of when you get, think that threshold you were talking about was 10 plus catches, 175 plus yards, and 3 plus touchdowns. And to do it twice, in, you know, basically the first four games of the year is crazy. And then to do it, ever is super crazy. So yeah, Jerry Rice, I think Carl Pickens is in there too. But anyway, the point is the fact that he's historic and we're taking him for granted. And it's not just running, hey, go long. It's running precise routes. A lot of those 9 of 10 third down conversions are on Tyreek. The other thing I'd tell you that I'm so excited about, particularly when I reviewed the video, was this 3 tight end look the Chiefs are using and how it helps Tyreek Hill. We discussed it in our training camp reports with Greg, but they go to these 3 tight ends. Now, to me, it looks like Fortson is pushed ahead of Noah Gray. In fact, Noah Gray could be inactive tomorrow because they're trying to figure out a way to get Josh Gordon active and ready to go tomorrow night. I'm not saying that'll happen, but it could. Don't be surprised if it does happen because Fortson has climbed ahead of him. But when Fortson, Kelsey, and Bell are on the field at the same time, and they ran the a lineup where they had him in a triangle, split, kind of flexed out, and then opposite is Tyreek Hill. Well, in that configuration, Tim, it's almost impossible to double Tyreek Hill because if you shade a safety over, you don't have enough manpower to handle those 3 tight ends on the other side. The Chiefs ran the ball out of that to Clyde. They passed the ball to those tight ends who just, you know, they just splinter out on certain concepts, but it frees up Tyreek Hill for one-on-one deep. And that's how they got those two first 36 and 33-yard plays to Tyreek. It was out of that set and Tyreek beating one-on-one coverage.
Mitch, what were your thoughts about the signing of Josh Gordon?
Well, I feel better on this Saturday morning about it after I see that he may have some impact tomorrow night. I don't know if he will or not. I'm medium on it. It'll be I'll wait till I see it. kind of thing. So I'm still in that mode. But two, I don't want it to mess up the locker room. This is a strong locker room. And again, we're in a golden age of where these players, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes or Tyrann Mathieu, are some of the best to ever play this game. And yet they're great locker room guys. Now, Tim, we would all like that to be the case all the time. I'm going to say that is rare, very rare, where your stars are that positive and that good in the locker room. Now, Josh Gordon has been suspended six times, I think. Is that right? Maybe seven?
I think so,
yeah. I was going through his litany earlier this week, and then I got going on to other things, but I was like, okay, he's getting another chance. So how many chances does he get? And he's got a chance in this culture, which is the best culture I think he's been in. I don't know about Houston Yates or his high school or Baylor, but I'm telling you, if he's ever going to do it, it's in this system and with this locker room. But Josh, it's on you, man. And you want him to succeed for his life, but you also don't want him to jack up our locker room. Because you're old enough to remember 98 in Marty Schottenheimer and taking on Van Morris and
yep.
Wayne Simmons. And, I mean, there's too much manure in the bucket. It overcomes all the good things.
Mitch, I do need to talk a little bit about the defense, too, because they were so good in the red zone last week against Philly. And the Bills, not a particularly good red zone football team, so it was kind of positive on a couple of fronts.
Yeah, it's odd that the Bills are with the Chiefs. They average 33.5 points a game, so they're both tied for first in the league in that regard. But they've done it from beyond the red zone, so they've been more like the Chiefs in that regard. I don't know why they're not doing a great job in the red zone. They had to kick four field goals last week against Houston. And Houston and Jacksonville are tied for worst in the league. I think Alabama would give them a game. But I don't know why they haven't performed in the red zone. This is a good offensive team. For the Chiefs, in this day and age of defense, I mean, think about Emporia State here. Think about KU or K-State playing in the Big 12. Or last night I saw somebody sent me the Marmaton Valley Oswego scores, 104-98.
Yeah.
That's a football game. Okay, this day and age of defense, I mean, you don't shut people down. You just win a few if you're playing good offenses. And Spags has talked about that. And honestly, last week against Philadelphia, who was playing, they played very well in that game, Philly did. They got enough stops, to your point, in the red zone. Just enough. If you're not going to take it away, then hold them in the red zone to threes. And that's become the new goal of defensive football, primarily in colleges and maybe eight-player football in the NFL when you're playing really high-powered offenses. And that being said, Buffalo's had two shutouts in 4 weeks defensively. That hasn't happened since the 2000 Ravens, but they played a depleted Miami team on backup quarterback and then the aforementioned Houston Texans.
Boy, Mitch, how significant is this game as far as the AFC playoff picture? Because, you know, with the Chiefs, you lose this game, and now you've got losses to the Raiders, the Ravens, the Bills, and suddenly those tiebreakers become extremely important.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at with a loss to the Chargers and the Ravens.
Right, yeah, Chargers.
Two games with the Raiders coming, and you got Green Bay coming. You know, you're dead on. I mean, this game, again, I don't think I've ever seen it in a season where the first five games of the year feel like playoff games. Every one of these has felt like a playoff game. I don't know how you felt about it,
yep.
Jim, but here we are again. I mean, the rematch, the AFC Championship game. And Buffalo, to me, is better than they were in January. So, yeah, there's a lot on the line. And if you're Buffalo now, their schedule is way easier. I mean, they get two games with the Jets, and the Patriots aren't the Patriots of old. Miami's more of a mess than they should be. So their division, they're going to roll it. And their cross-pollination games, like the Chiefs, aren't as strong. So this is big for the Chiefs. The Bills could afford to lose it a little bit, but the Bills also don't want to come back to Arrowhead if they have to play an AFC Championship game. They would rather have that in Buffalo.
Do you see Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes as our next quarterback rivalry in the AFC?
Yep. This feels like Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. And it's hard not to admire Josh Allen. hey, when you're a former national FFA president and you grew up in rural town in California and nobody wanted to recruit you, and even your hometown Fresno State Bulldogs were like, nah, I don't know. And then so he goes to Wyoming just because somebody goes, well, give this kid a try, and then he blows up into what he is. It's hard not to respect him and like him. Our defensive coaches think he's way better now than he was even in January, changing more plays at the line of scrimmage, more confident in his complete game. You mentioned they haven't been great in the red zone, and he hasn't been as precise as last year. His completion percentage isn't as high, but he's dangerous. They're trying to run the ball more. He's checking to some runs, but you've got it. This is the Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes of all those this versus maybe Justin Herbert, but those that triumvirate to me is the battle here for the next 10 years.
Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about Chris Jones and his wrist injury. Will he be available tomorrow night?
Great question. At 9:04, whatever we're at on Saturday morning, can't answer that. We'll know a little more today, and I honestly think this will go all the way up to whenever we get an active, is it 6 o'clock or 10 of 6 or whenever. They're trying to get him ready to go. But it also tells me that he's been playing with some pain the last couple of weeks. We all think that they're all playing, hey, everybody's fine, and so many of these guys have to play through pain or not feeling great or their best, and I think Chris has been trying to give it the old college try.
Well, Mitch, appreciate your time as always. We look forward to the call tomorrow night, big game in Kansas City, and just looking forward to it.
Well, heck of a game. I'm glad you got your wife there. She's going to take care of all of your reads, so that's good. So it's good to have that check and balance in our lives. But appreciate you, Tim. You're a stud, and, big game tomorrow night, brother.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Mitch. All right.
You both.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, as the Chiefs in Arrowhead tomorrow night. Sunday night football, Buffalo Bills. At Arrowhead. So that will wrap it up here for this Saturday morning. Of course, we'll have Emporia State football later on this afternoon, Mix 104.9, noon pregame, 1 o'clock kick, and then, of course, the Chiefs tomorrow night on Country 101.7 FM, a kickoff shortly after 7 o'clock at Arrowhead. Our thanks to our guest, of course, Mitch Holtis. Of course, thanks to Greg Ray for giving us an Emporia State update, and thanks to Emporia High head football coach Keaton Tuttle. This has been another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com.
Live and local.